and welcome back to It's Pretty Personal, a podcast all about love, mindset, life lessons, as well as sharing stories from the South Asian diaspora. How are you guys doing today? I know it's been a while. When I say while, I mean like 2 weeks since I last released an episode. But I think for me last week, I really just needed a break away from social media and the podcast. So a bit of an update time. Recently, I think I've been feeling really fed up of just being at home and just being confined to like the four walls of my house. Yes, I'm very grateful that I have a home, but I think because I've been doing it since March and that I don't really leave my house that much for the last 6 months because I've been working from home. So my office is at home, but then I'm not going to the gym. So the gym is also in my house. And then my social stuff is in my house. I'm just constantly at home all the time. And I think for me, it just got really overwhelming and suffocating. And it kind of led me to be really demotivated, actually. And I kind of know myself. And I know that when I'm like this, I honestly just need to take a break and just recharge my battery. So that's kind of what I did. And now I'm back and I'm happy and positive. And I'm ready to like get started with the podcast again. So I just think it's very normal to feel like this because I know a lot of you guys are feeling this way too. I actually did a poll on my Instagram to ask whether you guys are feeling fed up being at home. And actually 94% of you guys said, yes, I'm fed up of being at home, which made me feel like, okay, cool. Like I'm not the only one going through this. Like there are so many people, like a lot of people out there that are feeling exactly the same way as me and feeling really fed up and just antsy just being at home. Yeah, I'm really glad that there's a community out there with this podcast. And I'm really glad that you guys that are listening can relay. And sometimes you just make me feel like I'm not alone and stuff, which is always a really nice feeling. So I just want to say thank you for that. That said, I do a lot of polls on my Instagram. So please give me a follow. It's at Pretty Personal on Instagram. I'm actually going to put the link in the episode description so you can just click on it. But if you're more of a Twitter person, I also have Twitter. It's also Pretty Personal, although I don't really understand Twitter. So can someone please teach me how to use Twitter? That would be great. And if you are social media free, then you can always email me at itspretypersonal@gmail.com. I love hearing from you guys. So I would love to keep talking to you all. Also, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's been subscribing to this podcast. And if you love this podcast, on most podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your stuff, you can actually subscribe and follow, which means that I guess it's the same as when you subscribe on YouTube, like then all my podcast episodes come straight into your library and then you don't need to like constantly be searching about my episode because it's already there and you can just play it. So it kind of makes life easier. And as you know, I normally release episodes every Tuesday. So when you subscribe, the new episode will just be there in your library. So in today's episode, I'm actually joined by Kuljeet Kaur, who is a British Sikh author and has published her book called Ancient Nuggets of Wisdom. We speak about vulnerability, getting in touch with our roots, and also balancing culture clash. And culture clash is something that I think a lot of us struggle with, whether you're South Asian or not. I think anybody who has two cultures or two different cultures, balancing that can always be so difficult. So stay tuned to hear how Kuljeet managed to balance her two cultures. And if you want to buy Kuljeet's book called Ancient Nuggets of Wisdom, I'll link it down below in the episode description because it's actually out now. And I'm all about supporting fellow South Asian artists and creators. So let's get into the episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to It's Pretty Personal. Today, I have a really special guest. Her name is Kuljeet, and she's an author. And today, we're talking all about her brand new book. So I'm just going to introduce Kuljeet really quickly. So she can be found reading a book, and that book is probably going to be either a traditional Punjabi poetry book or something about spirituality. Living in Punjab after being born in England has played a pivotal role in her reinforcing her love for all things Punjabi. Writing a book of her own has always been a bucket list with her, and eventually she has done that with her current and new book called Ancient Nuggets of Wisdom. Kuljeet has had various jobs over the years, from working in call centers, but her most challenging and fulfilling role has been motherhood. And she currently lives in West London with her husband and her three beautiful children. So I just want to say, Kuljeet, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
How have you been?
Yeah, really well, thank you.
That's so good. I'm so happy to hear that. Before we get into the interview, I know that you have your first book coming out and we're talking all things about your book. I thought it would be really nice for the people listening to get to know you a little bit better. So I guess the most obvious question is, what is your favorite book?
I think this is a really unfair question, because picking just one book as a favorite is such an impossible task. But my favorite book is usually the one that I happen to be reading. And at the moment, I am reading a book which is called The Awakened Woman. And it is by somebody called Tara Rye Trent, who was a child bride back in Zimbabwe. And she escaped an abusive relationship with her children. And I mean, I'm not going to give too much away, because I think it's such an amazing book and everyone should read it. But it's so good, and it's so relevant to my book as well, because she also talks about the oral tradition that most cultures had and we seem to have lost, which is something that my book is about as well.
So interesting. I might have to actually pick that one up.
It's such a good book.
Is it? Oh, good. I might actually do that. The next one is, what is one thing that you're grateful for today?
Again, a really difficult question. I'm so grateful for so many things in my life, because I really think that gratitude plays such a huge part in my life. But if I had to pick just one thing, it would be the people that I've got in my life right now. I value them so much, their authenticity, their courage, especially to share their vulnerabilities, because that then gives me permission to share my vulnerabilities. And it can be such an empowering thing. So I'm so truly grateful for that.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. it's so cliched. It's so true. And I think when you're honest, you know, those things connect people, and it comes across as beautiful, because the people in my life are just so authentic, and, you know, they're not shy to come up and say, I'm feeling like this, or lay their vulnerabilities open. Because then it gives you courage to do the same thing.
It's such a strength. It genuinely is such a strength.
Definitely.
The next one that I wanted to ask you is, like, one thing that you've achieved in 2020.
So I want to say that in 2020, this has been such a huge thing for me, is like stepping into my own power, not being afraid to be me. I think this was such a big thing, you know, just to be able to show up as I am. Like we said about the people in my life that are so authentic and not afraid to be vulnerable. And for me to be able to do that and not worry what people might think of me, because through the people in my life, I really learned that the people that truly love you, value you, they're going to accept you just as you are. They're just going to completely, holistically accept you and not just little parts of you. And I think that's been so empowering and humbling for me, both at the same time. You know, people where sometimes they pick at your flaws but then there are other people that will they just love you and accept you for who you are. And I think that's just been so amazing. So it's taken me the better part of my life to own myself and not hide parts of my personality, you know, and accept me. Other people have accepted me. So stepping into my own power and accepting who I am, I think that's been a huge thing for me.
The next one is quite similar to the full question, was what's one life lesson that you've learned from 2020?
So again, I think that there's so much strength in vulnerability. There's so much courage in owning and accepting who you are fully. And I think sharing our stories is so empowering, not just for me, if I'm sharing my story, it's a healing process for me, but it's equally empowering for the listener, because they then listen to your story and they think it gives them permission, allows them to share their stories. So it's kind of like, I mean, in the past, I would have hidden the vulnerable bits of me or the bits that I didn't like and just pretended that everything was okay. And I think that's been such a huge eye-opener for me this year to just owning it. And I think there's so much strength can come from that.
I really do feel like with my podcast, I've definitely like seen that come to life when it comes to, it only takes one person to be vulnerable for someone else to relate and then be like, actually that's similar to my story, then share their story and then another person relates and it's a chain and then we all become more open, and I love that.
Exactly. And then you don't have to hide the bits that you think people might judge. You know, I mean, I think I've done things in my life, or I've had experiences in my life where I think people are going to judge me for those, or people are not going to be accepting of me. But it's those very things that people have said to me, wow, I can't believe that you went through that. Or, you know, I can't believe that you had to do that, and things like that. And it's just been amazingly inspirational for other people, empowering for me. And, you know, we're all in the same boat, I think, honestly, at the end of the day. I really do believe that.
Me too. I really do believe that too. Like you said about the being judged thing, like,
yeah,
a lot of times we're so in our own heads that we're thinking we're being judged for things that people don't even care about.
Exactly. And the other thing is, I think I've realized, is that when you accept yourselves, even your own flaws and things like that, when you stop judging yourself, you stop judging other people. And also, we're more critical of ourselves. And if you think to yourselves, well, if other people are okay and we're okay with them living their perfectly imperfect lives, then so are we.
Yes, definitely.
And why should they think any less of us? It's all in our own mindset, you know. And I think when you just shift that, it's so empowering, honestly.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. And the final question before we get into your book is, what makes you happy?
God, you're really asking difficult questions.
I'm putting you on the spot. I don't want no surface level stuff. We're going deep.
Again, happiness can mean so many different things to different people. But for me, particularly, I think happiness means being content with whatever occurs in my life, you know, being okay with the highs and the lows, and just being okay and not allowing them to govern how I feel. It's like the seasons, everything will come to pass, and not being so attached to any highs that come your way or the lows, and just letting them come and go. And I think that's true happiness, because when we get too attached to a feeling or an emotion or something good's going on in your life, and then when it's not going so well, then that can really crumble a person. It can bring you down. So being content and just knowing that whatever's going on is for the greater good. I also like waking up really early in the morning. So I've been doing that for the last 12 years because you can see the sunrise from my window. And that brings me so much joy. That is a true moment of happiness for me. Just waking up when it's really quiet, no one else in my family's up, and I watch the sunrise. I think that's so amazing.
I love that, but I just can't relate. I am like the opposite. I'm such a night owl compared to a morning person. I'm done with the deep questions now. Okay. Now we'll be talking about your book. So I think the first thing that I want to know is, like, what inspires you to even write this book?
So I think the inspiration behind the book comes from a really deep desire to preserve a unique part of our culture. Because the book is about proverbs. It's, the name of the book is Ancient Nuggets of Wisdom. So not just to promote the wisdom of the proverbs in the book, but to make them accessible for the next generation. I really wanted to bring back this culture that we've got of storytelling. I think there's something about owning our own culture that can help us connect to something so much bigger and meaningful. Because as human beings, I think we've all got this desire to belong. And I really, really think that we can do this through connecting with our own roots and our culture. It can be so empowering. I mean, Punjab has got such a rich history, and I always felt for those people living outside of Punjab, it's not necessary just to connect ourselves, but also the younger generations to this really rich heritage, to empower, inspire, and instill this sense of belonging, something that they can be proud of. So that was the inspiration behind it. And also, I think even in schools in India, like I see my younger cousins or, you know, my nieces in India, they go to English medium schools, and Punjabi was looked down upon. You know, when you go, it was like speak in English, walk in English, talk in English, everything was English. And Punjabi was kind of like the language of the illiterate or the not educated. And I wanted to spin that on its head. And I mean, we've had some great poets come from Punjab, and Punjabi has just been so reduced to this language of swearing and songs that aren't really about Punjabi. So the aim of the book wasn't just to celebrate that culture of oral tradition through storytelling and song, but really try and bring it back to life. And it's to help people connect to their roots from a time also of shared Punjab, you know, like pre-1947, pre-partition, and just to connect not just people of the younger generations, but across the generations with each other.
That's so interesting. I feel like, yeah, that's really true. Like, I don't really know that much about Punjabi history pre-1947. I think the Punjabi history that I know and that I've been taught is partition. But there's so much like amazing stuff, like you say, the poets, the songwriters. I think we're more than just like farming colony, where as Punjabis, we've got such a rich heritage.
Our people were storytellers, and it was all done through song and rhyme. And all of this wasn't, you're not necessarily going to find it through books. You're going to find it through the oral tradition, through sitting down and listening to your elders speak, you know. I don't know, maybe sitting around a fire at the evening, or when you're in your beds all tucked up and hearing your grandparents telling you stories. I think it was just such a beautiful thing. And I think we're really missing that in today's day and age.
No, definitely. I have one thing that I also wanted to talk to you about was the way you've written your book is very different to your standard book. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Those of us who are familiar with the Punjabi language know that it's quite a metaphorical language as well, you know, where the words, you're saying something, but it could mean something completely different. And I think you could get so many different interpretations. So the way that the book is written, it's written in Punjabi, which is the language, but the script that's used for Punjabi is, in India, Gurmukhi is used, but in Pakistan, Shahmukhi is used, which is the Persian script. And so we put both of the scripts in the book. And for those of us who can't read Punjabi, we've put an English transliteration in it. And then we've also put a literal translation of what the words mean. And then we've given a slightly deeper meaning to the proverbs. Because what happens with the proverbs, over time, the words don't change, but the usage has changed. So some of the proverbs come from a time where something might have been relevant. For example, there's something in the book that says, she falls off a donkey and she takes it out on the potter, which has no relevance in today's day and age or for the modern Punjabis of this generation growing up in the West. But the usage has changed, and it really is talking about misplaced anger, how she's angry at something else, but she's taking it out on somebody else. So it's really meaningful. I mean, I think when you start stripping the layers away behind the proverbs, the more and more you do that, the deeper and deeper the meanings are. And it's really up to the individual what they want to take away from it and how deep they want to go. So it can be a really light read, or it can be a really deep and meaningful read, depending on your mood, I think.
Was that always the intention, that you wanted it to be that way?
Definitely. Because my dad, I'd hear my dad saying them, the proverbs, he just still uses them in his everyday normal language. And he'll say them really lightly. But then when I go away and I think about them and I do a bit of self-reflection and I think, wow, that is really deep. So that was definitely the intention, because the whole point of the book was so that everybody can connect to it. So if you're not looking for something heavy, you know, you just take it with a pinch of salt. But if you want to go a bit deeper, then I mean, the name of the book says it all. It's ancient nuggets of wisdom. It's like stepping into Aladdin's cave, you know. So the deeper you dig, then the deeper the meanings are and the more relevant they are to you as an individual as well. So yeah, definitely.
One thing that I just wanted to pick up on that you said was, you said that your dad will say these proverbs and then you will like go back and be like, oh damn, that's like really deep. Do you feel like that was a way for South Asian guys to talk about their feelings? Because you know how mental health is so like down upon, and a lot of people don't talk about their feelings in our community. Do you think that was a way of an owl, that for them to release their feelings?
Do you know what? I think our ancestors spoke in song and rhyme, and that was their tradition. You know, like I said, whether it was at, you know, weddings, whether it was in times of joy or even in times of mourning, yeah, I think they would say how they felt and what they said. Yeah, definitely it could be taken as an outlet, how to perhaps put things more eloquently to someone, you know, if you're upset with someone, rather than just having a full on blown argument with someone, just, you know, saying a few words and making it known how you feel, but without, you know, too much drama, if that makes any sense.
That was actually really interesting. So I know you're British, but you're also Punjabi. So for you, how have you created this balance between being both British and Punjabi?
So I think in my younger days, I definitely really struggled with it, especially like when I went to school, it was a predominantly white school. And you go into school and the children would talk about things like what they had for dinner the evening before, what they're going to have for tea today. And for me, both my parents are, you know, from India, second generation, because my grandfather came here first. But, you know, typically from Punjab, and for us, dal roti was our normal meal. And in the summer holidays, we'd go to India because we'd visit our grandparents. And at school, the children would talk about where they'd been. So I really struggled because I felt like I didn't really fit in. And I don't think this is just exclusive to me. I think a lot of people of my generation must have felt that way. But listening to the stories of prowess from my grandparents, I think it enabled me to find inspiration. So when we'd go on holiday to India, and I'd listen to my grandmother telling us stories, you know, the whole thing, like what the whole book is about this storytelling tradition, this oral tradition. And I found so much inspiration from that because it made me recognize that I came from something far greater than the modern day songs that we've come to associate with Punjabi and dal roti. We came from an ancestry of warriors, healers, storytellers, artists, poets, and so much more. So the more I listened to these stories and the more I understood them, the more I became comfortable in my own skin, and, you know, the more empowered I became. That's why I think, like I said at the beginning of our chat, I think connecting to your culture can be such an empowering thing.
Yeah, I do too. I really do too. I feel like it's a lot harder in this day and age, just because I think from what I've seen personally, it's like, you're not cool. And every kid just wants to fit in, isn't it? Like, you don't want dal roti. You don't want that. You want to have like boring sandwiches to school.
Exactly. I think we've all got this as human beings, this innate desire to fit in. And because we don't know our history, because we don't know our culture, we don't really know where we fit in. So knowing your culture and then knowing that you come from something bigger, something greater, something stronger, you know, that's what's going to give us that empowerment to help us fit in.
I know for you, it was like the stories of your grandparents and stuff, but there are a lot of people out there that don't have grandparents, or they, like, their grandparents are from here, for example, and they're like, or third or fourth gen. How would they be able to get back in touch with their roots, do you think?
I think there's so much out there now on social media. There's so many resources now. When I was growing up, it was all these books were not accessible. You know, you couldn't just walk into a library and find something that you could relate to, you know, that was something of your color or anything like that. So I think there's definitely more and more resources these days. And obviously, you know, I've written this book and there are other artists and poets out there as well that are trying to bring this forward for the next generation. So I really think it's what you're looking for on social media, you know, if you're searching for that type of thing. And I think if you want to connect, then there are so many more resources out there these days.
So then what does being Punjabi mean to you then?
Being Punjabi conjures up in my mind so many things, like, you know, the paintings, the prints, the floral embroidery designs, instruments, music. But aside from all those things, because these are all material things, and I think to me it consists of the traditions, and I'm going to keep going back to oral history because I think there's so much in that, and the social practices, the traditional practices, the folk music, the dance, the literature, and the kahavta, which is the book is about. And all this knowledge and these skills that were passed down from generation to generation, I think that's what being Punjabi means to me. And I think that's why it's so important to me to preserve some part of that, or be a part of trying to preserve a part of that, so that we can try and bring that culture that tradition back into our lives and try and pass it on to our children so that it's not completely lost.
No, for sure. And I know that your book is called Ancient Nuggets of Wisdom. So what is one ancient nugget of wisdom that you've learned about?
I love all of them. I could talk about all of them. But I think there's one that my dad always says, and it's about how we speak and how much power that our words hold. And there's one in the book as well about the food that we consume. So what you put inside your body. And again, like I said, where the proverbs can be either taken with a pinch of salt, or you can dig deeper and find more and more meaning to them. And so for me, when it says things like, when we talk about the words that we speak and the food that we consume, again, I see these things on social media where I've seen quotes recently doing the rounds on social media when it says that your diet isn't just what you put inside your body, but it's the thoughts and it's things like that. And then I think back to these nuggets of wisdom that I hear from my dad or I've heard from my granddad, I think that's what they were talking about. So I think it's really important. I think words hold so much power. So what we say, I really and truly believe this, that every word that comes out of our mouth is a prayer. So we should be careful what we say. And because it's a manifestation into the universe, really, you know, you're what you want. So if we're constantly complaining or we're constantly just talking about negativity, then that's what we're going to magnetize back to ourselves. So I think that's a really big one for me, that words hold so much power.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so then what is one ancient nugget of wisdom that you want today's society to adopt?
I would say that it's not enough to know, that one must do, or at least be willing to do. Because, you know, you can know things. I know these ancient nuggets. I've heard them from my father growing up. But knowing them isn't enough if I'm not going to incorporate them into my life, or at least try or be willing to try. So I think apply the things that you know, because you can have a wealth of knowledge, but if you're not applying it into your life, then it's a waste. So that is definitely one piece of ancient nugget of wisdom that I'd like people to adopt, is like, knowing is not enough, that we must start doing.
I love that. That's my favorite one. That is so cool. Okay. And then the other thing that I really want to know is that when you're writing your book, how did it feel to like reconnect with your roots?
So the writing process for me was quite empowering. It gave me a true sense of belonging, knowing that I come from such a rich past. But not only that, it also made me realize that I'm part of that past. And as I, not just me, but as we look back on our ancestors, when we feel this real sense of pride and encouragement, I think that there's a calling for us to do something for generations to come. It's almost like we have a responsibility to leave future generations with the same thing that our past generations left us with. It really dawned on me one day when I was watching my kids play, and I'm always talking to them about our history and our ancestors. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to be somebody's ancestor one day. And what am I leaving behind? What stories are they going to tell their kids about me? That really dawned on me. And I don't think it necessarily means doing really huge things, but just small things, the way that we speak with our children, how we're bringing them up, and the way that we instill this sense of empowerment within them. So there was that, but there was also, it was really fun at the beginning when I decided that I was going to start documenting these and give the proverbs the form of a book, because it helped me connect one with my father and it helped me reestablish a relationship with him. So it gave me an opportunity to spend some time with both of my parents and hear even more stories from them. As the book started to become more real, where I wasn't just putting these things down on paper, but it was actually going to be a book, then the feelings of self-doubt started to creep in. But then again, I went back to my dad and I was telling him how I was feeling, and he reassured me again through his stories. And on a practical side, I think the editor, the publisher, they put up with all my anxiety and all my nerves and my late night calls. So I think the whole writing process was a bit of a whirlwind. I'm going to tell you a quick story actually now, if we've got the time, about my dad. Yeah. So I went back to my dad when the book had gone to print and I was like, oh, dad, you know, what if it's got so many mistakes in it? What if I haven't done the Proverbs justice, and he gave me this. And this is what I mean about our ancestors being storytellers and encouraging us through that. So my dad said to me, he said, there was a guy and he created a sculpture, and he takes the sculpture and he puts it in the marketplace, and he hangs a sign in the neck of the sculpture. And on the sign, it says, please point out any mistakes that you see in the sculpture. So at the end of the day, the whole statue is literally full of where people have pointed out mistakes. And he's really deflated, the guy. So he comes back home. And the way that my dad told me the story was, he was saying, just like you've come to me about your book. He was, you know, the book is my sculpture. And he says to his father that my sculpture's got so many mistakes and it's got so many flaws in it. And the dad listens to the story and he says, okay, here's what I want you to do tomorrow. I want you to go back out there to the same place. I want you to take the sculpture back out there again. And this time, I want you to put a sign around the neck of the sculpture. But this time on the sign, you're going to write, anybody who can see a mistake, please correct it. And he says, and that day, at the end of the day, nobody came up and nobody corrected any mistakes on the sculpture. So the point of the story was, the moral of the story was that people are going to judge and people are going to point mistakes out. But at the end of the day, you know, nobody's gone out and made that sculpture. Nobody's gone out and done what you've done. And that doesn't just apply to me, but that applies to every person and everything that we do in our life. You know, whatever it is that we're doing, if we're doing it wholeheartedly, putting our effort in, then the rest doesn't really matter. The rest is irrelevant. So that was a really nice story. And that kind of, for me, was that completed the book, because that story my dad told me when the book went to print. So for me, that had just done a full circle of how the stories that our ancestors tell us and what they speak. And, you know, they're stories of encouragement and empowerment.
Yeah, definitely. And your book is actually going to be out now. So how can people get your book?
So you can get it from the website. I think you will post the link.
I will put it in the episode description below. Yeah.
Yep. So Carlis House, which is the publishing house, who are absolutely amazing. So you can buy it direct from there. And if you follow them on Insta as well, then there'll be lots and lots of information on there as well.
Also link that in below as well. So you guys have all the information. So if you're interested in Kuljeet's book, please go and buy it. I am really looking forward to reading it myself. And before we end this podcast, I think it'll be really nice to do a little quick fire round of you. So like, just ask you a bunch of really short, easy questions, just as a little bit of a fun ending to this podcast. So are you ready?
No, but we'll do it anyway.
So the first question is, what is your favourite film?
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? Dangal. I'm going to say Dangal. It's a Hindi film. I don't really watch Indian films, but Dangal is a really good film, which I just go out and watch it. It's a good movie.
Okay, the next one is, are you a starters person or a dessert person?
Both.
Ooh. Your favourite social media app?
Insta?
The next one is, are you a morning person or a night out? I think we've already covered this.
Yeah, definitely a morning person.
If you weren't living in London, where would you emigrate to?
Punjab.
What is your favourite holiday that you've been on?
That's a difficult one, because I want to say when I went on my own to Rome, but I also feel a little bit bad saying that because I've got three kids now. But it's so nice sometimes to just have time on your own and, you know, enjoy your own company, which is something that I do. So yeah, I'm going to say that one.
What is one thing that you want to learn more about?
I think I want to learn more about my own culture and my own language and my own traditions, because I don't think you can ever really fully know it all.
No, for sure. And my final question is, what is your favourite quote?
My favourite quote is that there is so much power in vulnerability. And I really think that's so true. And it's something I live by.
Thanks so much for being a guest on my podcast. I really hope that the book goes really well. And like I said before, guys, the link will be in the episode description if you want to buy Ancient Nuggets of Wisdom, which is out now.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks so much.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation. I learned so much when I was talking to Kulji and hearing about the inspiration and the stories behind her book. Like I said, the book is now out. And if it's something that you're interested in, there's a link in the bio that takes you to the website where you can buy the book. And also don't forget to follow Kulji on her socials, which is something that I'll also link down below. And let me know, what was the favorite part of this episode for you? So message me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, or even just email me, actually. I would love to hear your thoughts. And if you enjoyed this episode, then please rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and give it a review, because it really helps the podcast grow. And honestly, it just means a lot to me. I hope you guys do that. And I also hope that you're having an amazing day and enjoy your week. And I guess I will speak to you soon. Bye.